Well, good morning, everyone. Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Father, what a joy it is to be with the family, and Lord, in this family, we have that great living hope. We have freedom from really despair and despondency, and yes, we have emotions. We have the sense to grieve with those who are grieving and tears with those who are tearful. But under it all, we know that it is not about us, it's about you and what you've done for us, and that we're reminded the last breath here is followed immediately by the first breath with you. And so what an unbelievable upgrade that is for us all. So I just thank you for taking us out of these broken bodies in terms of those that are dying from old age kind of a thing, or from disease. And we don't like to see assassinations, but we know the destination is the same regardless of how that last breath comes. And it's not what's before, it's what's after. And so, Lord, we rejoice this morning in that vein. So lead us as we look at another very clear statement from you, not made by men. This is not a prayer of Moses. This is not a prayer of Daniel or any other man. This is you speaking. So, Lord, we so want to listen, Lord. A very familiar verses. I've sung them or said them many times. Pastor Chuck would close every sermon with this benediction, really. But are we really hearing you? I hope we will hear you. I hope we will leave today with a greater appreciation of your blessing than ever before. I hope we would be just wanting to respond out of your great love for us with more love to you and more love for one another. So help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I didn't plan this verse for today at all. I'm just going through the Bible, right? And we were in Deuteronomy last week, and now we move into Numbers this week. And the call it the Aaronic blessing or the benediction. And it is just so perfectly fitting for us here this morning, I believe, in a couple of ways. But one way is that when you look at the context of which this was given to us, it was given in the book of Numbers, as you know, as I just mentioned, it was given to Moses to tell Aaron to speak word for word to the people. Now, we're in this section of Numbers. We had the census right at the beginning, and then you go in for about four or five chapters of priestly duties and things we're supposed to do, right? A lot of heaviness on you do this, you do this, you do this. And we come here this morning in a way on the heels of that assassination, and we have kind of a feeling, I think, most of us of, man, you know, Or Wednesday. Wednesday was almost as impactful to me as Tuesday, because thinking of 24 years ago and how the church poured out on Wednesday night after 9/11 and, you know, continued for a couple of months or so. And everybody was saying, this is the turnaround. This is the wake-up call we needed. Now, you know, we're really going to change things. Well, we saw with the assassination, not so much the assassination, but the day or so after, how many people at all levels in this country hate God and were actually joking about an assassination and really kind of clapping their hands. There was a victory for those who are against, you know, the Constitution and against all the things that we stand for. And so we have not gotten better in 24 years. In my opinion, I think this nation has gotten even more godless in 24 years. So not to despair on that necessarily, except that it's time for the church to wake up. And I think we've been pretty awake. We've been meeting every Saturday morning. That doesn't mean we're really doing everything we're supposed to do, but at least we are up. And so here we are this morning. So in the middle of all of these things of, well, here's what we need to do. We need to get out there. We need to do this. We do that. Yes, we do. But on the other hand, we need to stop and listen. God speaks right in the middle of this and says, this is what I want you to speak to the children of Israel, that they know who I am. And tell them this. I will bless you. I will bless you. That's primo. That's the first thing. There are six blessings, basically, in this benediction. Some count seven. But the first one is the biggest one. I will bless thee. I will bless thee. Now, when you have the maker, the creator, the everything promising to bless you, is he going to bless you or not? Well, yeah, if you get out there and do 10 laps a day and all of that. No. It has nothing to do with what you do. He loves you and he's going to bless you. He's going to provide everything you need. Well, that's not true. I need this. I need a new car. I need that. Well, that's not what you need. You may want that. But I'm not going to say he's going to supply what you want because you want the wrong things. But he is going to bless you. He's going to bless you. So at a time of kind of despair, at a time of great sorrow, which it is in a way, and you know, every time I hear another lawmaker or whatever this is come out with a blasphemous thing, it just, it hurts, doesn't it? I mean, it hurts to think that we have representatives of this nation hating God and hating America. And, you know, the large percentage of those on the left hate America. They hate this country. And that hurts because it means they hate Israel. That means they hate God. And God haters are to be prayed for, right? Because it's a terrible place to be filled with hatred and want to go out and kill somebody, maybe to get your way or whatever. So here we are. God is saying, I will bless you. I will bless you. And then he goes on, I will keep you. Think what that means. We have a keeping God. We don't stay close to him and walk with him continually because of us. We do it because of him. Well, I got to do my part. Yeah, you got to do your part. But think how the Holy Spirit keeps drawing you to do the right thing. So you got to keep continually rebelling if you're not going to walk the way he would have you to walk. He is a keeping God. I think of Jesus in his great high priestly prayer, praying for the disciples. Now I no longer am in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to you, Father. Listen to this. Keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. And then later he said, while I was with them in the world, I kept them, actually the next verse, I kept them in your name. Those you have given me, I have kept. And none of them is lost except the son of perdition. So he knew all about Judas, that the scripture might be fulfilled. So he is our keeper. He is your keeper. Isn't that great? So he blesses you and he keeps you. And then the next one in there, he is a smiling God. He will make his face shine upon you. I think of Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. He will make his face shine upon you. These are all things he will do. It's not what you're doing. It's what he's doing. He will make his face shine upon you. Oh, am I giving the Lord any reason to smile on me at all? Not that he needs a reason to, but he does. Isn't that awesome? I think it is just great. And then he is a gracious God. One of the most outstanding things about him is grace, isn't it? Giving us what we don't deserve, his grace. His grace. Grace to you. So he blesses us. He keeps us, he smiles on us, and he's gracious to us. Wow, we could stop there. That's more than we can absorb, I think, isn't it? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, what, to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He is gracious to us. And then he is attentive. He is an attentive God. The Lord lift up his face or his countenance upon you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you. He's telling us we have his full attention. He cares. He knows everything about us. He hears our prayers. He even prompts us on what to pray and when to pray, doesn't he? Yes, he knows. Yes, he does. And then finally, the last one here, and give you peace. Do you have that peace today? Do you have that peace? Now, there's a couple of kinds of peace there, isn't there? There's a peace with God, and there's a peace of God. The peace with God, everybody has that who's a believer. They're no longer fighting with God. They have peace with God. They've surrendered to him. But the peace of God is a little different. The peace of God, not everyone has that. None of us have that all the time, I don't believe. Do you always have the peace of God coming out of your life? Well, not for very long at a time, I do, because I blow it about every 30 seconds or so, in a way. But he gives us that peace. He gives us his peace. He answers all of my prayers the same way that they should be answered. And they probably would be the same way I would pray if I had his wisdom, his power, and his love. But I don't have that given to a finite, as in our finite condition. But he's, even in spite of our finiteness, he's promised to bring us to Christ's likeness, hasn't he? I think that's the greatest accomplishment of God, bringing the whole church to Christ's likeness. Think of the job it is just to bring you, to bring me to Christ's likeness. It's taken a long time, and he's still got a long way to go, right? But he does it on his timing. And we may be here around this earth for 10 years, 20 years, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80. But he'll get the job done because he's promised to do it, right? So he is a God that gives us peace. And then he gives us a promise at the end of this. So they, meaning Israel, but it would mean us believers as well, as we're adopted in, so they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. So you have that name on you, do you not? Is it in bold enough letters of the powered by the Spirit that everybody you see knows that? I think so. But we want to see that happen, don't we? We want to see others wanting you because they see him blessing us. They shall put my name and the address, and I will bless them. And then we had the last words of Jesus when he ascended into heaven, given to us there, for example, in Luke 24:50. And Jesus led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Isn't that great? Now it came to pass, while he blessed them, that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. So just think, the last thing Jesus did, just as he's leaving us, the ascension of Jesus, he blessed them as he departed from them. And so we have a blessing God, don't we?
Amen.
So let's go to him in prayer this morning, and just whatever is on your heart by the Spirit, let's bring it. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be reminded of your being a blessing God. So gracious, so awesome. Thank you, Lord. Lead us in this time of prayer together, and thank you for this opportunity to just join in the circle and just acknowledge you and pray as you would prompt us to pray, in Jesus' name. Amen to that. Well, we've come to the kind of the end of the time, and just I want to close with Pastor Chuck singing. It's a terrible recording, but it's still singing the benediction. But one last thought reminds me of Jeremiah in chapter 6. God speaking to Israel, well, actually the whole earth. He says, "Hear, O earth," verse 19, "behold, I will certainly bring calamity on this people, the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not heeded my words." And I just wanted to ask you, thinking of 24 years since 9/11, that was such a great wake-up call for the nation, and it turns out that it didn't do anything to wake us up. We're actually worse today than we were then, I believe. But I have to ask myself, what's the condition of my heart been for 24 years? Or you want to go, some of you aren't old enough for that, but most of us are. What is going to be now? What will it be? And I do believe the importance of time alone with the Word of God. If you're not doing that every day, you're going to be deceived, because I think deception is going to skyrocket. I think one of the possible sources of that is AI, but it's going to skyrocket in the last times. That's what the Word says. So if you're content with where your heart has been the last 24 years, that's good. But I think we've got to be in the Word as we go forward, because He is telling us in His Word what we need to do. And we all want to do something, right? I mean, I feel like I'd like to do something. I'd like to have, but I know my actions are determined by my heart. Unless my heart is right, my actions don't mean anything. And the only thing that can change my heart is Him. And the only thing that I can really see Him changing it is through His Word. So are you in His Word? Really alone with Him and listening to Him? How much of the time are you doing that, or are you doing it at all? And I'm asking myself these questions. So we all know we have the Word of God, but are we really taking it in? We get a lot of things coming in. What do we get, 60,000 things a minute or whatever it is coming into our things with all of the different things? But are we getting into that Word? Well, Father, we thank You for meeting us here. We thank You for the heritage that You've given us. And I think there are a lot of us here, I don't know about X, Y, Z, all that stuff. There are a lot of us who are A, B, C, D, and E, I think. And there are a lot more old people around than there are young people in a way, in terms of Generation Z anyway. That's a million. I think if we don't have at least 40 million people in this nation that call themselves Christian, that's only 10%. And it's a lot more than a million Z's. So I'm praying for the Z's, but I'm praying for the A, B, C, D, E, F, T, P, Q's and all that too. That's us, that our hearts would be right in His sight. So let's sing this song with Pastor Chuck here, if we may. And you'll remember it, even if you don't like this recording. I had a real tough time finding a recording of this, because it's always on the end of the sermons, and they always cut it off. And all of the tapes on his Sunday night studies, which I have them all pretty much, or at least on one thing or another. But none of those he ever did the benediction at night. It was always in the morning. So anyway, I thought I could find a really good recording, but I haven't been found one. But I did find one here, which is kind of scratchy and old. Father, we do thank You. It brings to memory that having... But Father, go before us as You will. We don't have to ask You to bless us, because You already have told us You will.
Yes.
But You did say the calamities will come on godlessness.
Yes.
And so part of this depends on what the church does. We could have a revival if we're really serious about it. Chances are the deception is going to get greater and greater, and we see the wickedness so ingrained now in so much of this nation. And the only thing that's going to turn that around is to turn back to you.
Yes.
I'm not saying we won't. I hope we do.
We pray.
But I hope the church stands up and prays more than it's done the last 24 years. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about the total church. Mm-hmm. But I thank you for this little family here. We can pray, and we don't have to worry about them. Help us to be more concerned about us. About what am I doing? What am I writing? What testimony is going to end up in that will be on my tombstone, so to speak? So, Lord, may your will be done. Go before us today in Jesus' mighty name. And we thank you and we praise you, such a blessing, God. In Jesus' name, amen.